How do we perfect the appetites? I'm Mike Mason. This is the St. Joe Society podcast. The St. Joe Society is a Catholic lay apostolate devoted to help men order all things to Christ by growing strong in mind, body, and spirit. If you'd like to learn more about our work, you can check us out online at stjosephsociety.org. All right, gentlemen, this is episode 26, our last, second to last episode of our introduction to spiritual theology. And this week, we are going to discuss the perfection of the appetites before we turn our attention to the prayer of the perfect next week. Last week, we discussed the perfection of the intellect through the gift of counsel and piety. We also talked a little bit about the perfection of the gifts of knowledge and understanding and wisdom as well. This week, we're going to turn our attention to the perfection of the appetites via the gifts of fortitude, which is going to perfect the irascible appetite, and fear, which will perfect the concupiscible appetite. All right, let's launch in. All right, the irascible appetite. As you recall from earlier episodes, the irascible appetite is the appetite for arduous goods. There are some goods in this world that are difficult to attain, and so we need to have the fortitude, which is the virtue that perfects it, in order to pursue those goods in the face of difficulties and challenge. So last month, we talked about the virtue of fortitude and how it perfects this irascible appetite so that we can pursue virtue and become the men that God wanted us to be. Now, the gift is very easy to remember here, because the gift that helps us perfect the irascible appetite is also called fortitude. It's easy to remember. Now, what does the gift of fortitude add to the virtue of fortitude? The gift of fortitude strengthens the soul for the practice of virtue with invincible confidence of overcoming any dangers or difficulties that may arise. The most unmistakable mark of the distinction between the virtue and the gift of fortitude is the confidence one experiences in being able to overcome great dangers and difficulties with the latter. Okay, that was a quote from Jordan Amman. What in the world does that mean? It means this. You need fortitude to fast. You need fortitude to be disciplined with your prayer life. You need fortitude to stay in shape. You need fortitude to do learn to play the piano. Okay, so we need fortitude to face the difficulties of life well. Okay, whether those are difficulties we commit ourselves to, like a workout regimen, fasting, playing the piano, devotion to a prayer life, or things, fortitude in difficult things we don't choose, like getting sick, suffering, those sorts of things. Okay, so we need fortitude. Now, what the gift of fortitude does is sometimes we will be faced with great dangers where we need a heroic level of fortitude, a heroic level of courage, okay? And we need confidence to make it through it. So think about, say, the great saints or the apostles in the book of Acts, right? They're going out, and we read about these saints who death and persecution and torture and suffering for the sake of the gospel is presented to them, and they heroically manage it, okay? This would be the gift of fortitude. Those guys could not do that just because they were tough guys, okay? God gave them this gift of fortitude so that they could overcome the great dangers, okay? So that they could overcome the great difficulties, and they would do it with invincible confidence in God because he infuses that into their soul, okay? So that's what the gift of fortitude does. Now, this is something that we'll talk at the end of this episode on how to dispose ourselves to, but we absolutely need this for salvation, okay? Now, what are some reasons for that? First, we need the gift of fortitude because we need relentless vigor in the practice of virtue. Pursuing virtue is difficult. Virtue is going to make us strong. To become strong, we have to be up against something challenging. We need relentless vigor. So the gift and virtue of fortitude is going to give that to us. Second, we need to overcome lukewarmness. Sometimes we're going to become, you know, just kind of shrug our shoulders at the spiritual life, become lukewarm with our devotion and our commitment to worship Almighty God in Mass, or to say our daily prayers. To overcome that lukewarmness, we need that influx of fortitude. Third, sometimes there are dangers and enemies that we can shrink back from. We need the gift of fortitude so that we don't do that. We need the gift of fortitude, fourthly, to suffer when we suffer with patience and joy. Okay. Not happy glee. No one likes to suffer. I don't like to suffer, but we need to do so with patience and joy why does it bring joy? Because we are getting the opportunity to unite our suffering to the suffering of our Lord on the cross. When we suffer, when God permits suffering, he's giving us an opportunity to be like his son in a unique way, to be like the Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Sorrows. That should give us joy that we've been counted worthy to suffer in a way similar to our Lord. And you remember the apostles, St. Stephen said that in the book of Acts. Lastly, it gives us the soul a quality of heroism in great things and small. And I want to emphasize the small things. Dude, we all want to be heroic in great deeds. I want to do great deeds. When all of us were little boys, we dreamt about doing great deeds. Even us as more middle-aged men and probably as old men will dream of doing great deeds. Okay. It comes with being a man. It's a good thing. We never want to lose that in ourselves. But a lot of our heroism needs to be in the small stuff. And so fortitude can help us to be heroic in the small deeds so that if God should ever permit us to have to be heroic in a great thing, then we will be disposed to receive that. And the gift of fortitude will help us to be heroic there for his glory and for our benefit. Okay. So that is the irascible appetite. Okay. How to perfect it through the gift of fortitude. The concupiscible appetite, as opposed to the irascible, the concupiscible desires pleasure, food, drink, and sex. Now, those things are not bad, as we've discussed in the past, but they need to be tempered through the virtue of temperance. Okay. So temperance allows us to use food, drink, and sex appropriately, okay, in a way that's edifying to our station in life and such. Now, the gift that perfects temperance and the gift that perfects the concupiscible appetite is fear of the Lord, okay? Now, the fear of the Lord perfects temperance and it perfects the gift of hope, okay? And I'll explain why here in a second. But it perfects the virtue of hope and temperance by motivating a person to avoid sin out of fear of God. So the fear of the Lord here is we are afraid of God in a perfect sense, not servile fear, but filial fear. Filial fear is when we fear to lose God because we love him so much. Servile fear is when you're afraid to get punished. Here we're to fear the Lord. Here's filial. I love God. I don't want to lose him. Okay. That motivates us to avoid sin because we love our God so much. Okay. Why does that fit with the virtue of hope? Because it's the hope of the resurrection, the hope of the future. So we're saying no to sinful appetites and temptations in this life out of fear, filial fear, out of love of God in the hope of being united to him for all eternity. So notice how fear perfects the temperance because we have to deny ourselves for what? Union with God, okay? So really powerful stuff. To reach the perfection of the Christian life and the most intimate possible union with God, it's necessary the concupiscible appetite be not only controlled, but purified. You may start by perfecting it through controlling it, but it must be purified and ordered towards his will. We initially, guys, we conform our actions to God's will. In time, with his grace, our will becomes uniform with him. We want what he wants. That's the goal, okay? So fortitude, perfecting the irascible appetite, the gift of fear, perfecting the concupiscible appetite. How do we dispose ourselves to this? First, to cultivate fortitude, I have three suggestions for you. First, accustom yourself to the exact fulfillment of your duties despite any repugnance. What do I mean by that? Okay. We have duties in life we don't like. Okay. We need to accustom ourselves to fulfilling them exactly. Okay. I have small children. Trying to get them to be excellent in the small things is exactly what this is talking about. Doing the dishes is not fun. Clearing the table is not fun. Cleaning the kitchen after dinner is not fun. We need to fulfill our duties there exactly, even though it's not fun. Guys, what duties you have in life that you have a little bit of repugnance over, can't control the fact you have repugnance over them, you need to fulfill them exactly. Why? Because it's going to build fortitude. Second, we should not ask God to remove the cross So when God sends us crosses, okay, we might need to not ask him to remove it, just give us the grace to carry it. So if God sends you a cross, men, embrace it. What did our Lord do? He embraced his cross. Okay, embrace your cross and carry it. So when you're meditating on that fourth mystery of the sorrowful mystery of the rosary, okay, embrace the crosses of life. Third, to practice voluntary mortification faithfully. Mortify the flesh even in legitimately good things, okay? Do it faithfully, do it voluntarily, okay? You can use your judgment on what that is. You want to be smart about it, but embrace mortification, okay? I have suggestions, of course, in podcasts here all the time, exercise, diet, fasting, those sorts of things. But we want to practice mortification. So that's how you cultivate some fortitude. What about temperance? Now, you notice these two are going to go together. They're very wedded together very closely. With temperance, cultivate a love of solitude. Why would that do temperance? Well, because you're pushing noise out that gives pleasure. So learn to love to be alone. Practice silence. Practice recollection and mental prayer. So solitude, recollection, and prayer. Why? Because you have to turn off the noise of the world, the pleasure of the world to do that. So practice those. Second, be vigilant in keeping custody of your senses. Guys, build around you a wall to keep out the things that are going to lead you into temptation. And you often intentionally do acts of love of our Heavenly Father. Third, do all things for the salvation of souls and for the glory of God. Okay. So work. Work as diligently as you can for the salvation of souls. All right. We want to try in everything we do, big and small, for God to be lifted up and glorified in our actions, and then for other people to come closer to him through our witness. So, all right, those are some suggestions on cultivating the virtues of fortitude and temperance, for cultivating the gifts of fortitude and fear of the Lord, so that we can perfect the irascible and concupiscible appetite and unite ourselves more closely to our Lord. So I'm going to stop there. Next week, we will wrap up with our final episode, episode 27 of this introduction to spiritual theology on the prayer of the perfect. So I'll look forward to that, but I hope you guys have a blessed week, and I will look forward to talking to you next time. God bless.